Since the remains, since our as we remain in Him, He remains in us. And the truth is, as we connect to the vine, our whole life gets refreshed and revived. Amen. He can speak. He can bring life into dry bones. That's our God. So whatever the fact that you might be holding on to today, be ready. Because God's going to transform it into truth. And it's going to bring about a different perspective in our lives. Amen. And as we take authority in the spiritual, okay, so that we always focus on the physical. We always focus on what's happening on the outside. But as we take control of what happens inside of us, the physical follows. He's more interested in healing our spiritual, our mental. Because it's no good for us to have physical healing if our inward spiritual is in a mess. We can walk around with perfect health. We can walk around with perfect physique. But if our heart is messed up and if our spirit is very downcast, it's no good. And that's why faith starts from the spiritual and makes its way out to the physical. Amen. So faith will tell us to press on. You see, our minds, it tells us to quit, to give up. Our mind tells us that things aren't going to change. Our mind tells us, what's the point of carrying on? But faith, on the other hand, inspires us. Faith, is, on the other hand, gives us fresh revelation and helps us to press on. Faith tells us, don't give up, don't quit. Faith tells us, listen, you can't do it. Faith tells us, don't live in fear. Faith tells us that God is greater than any mountains or any giants we face. Faith will tell you to press on. Faith enables you to press on. Faith enables you to move forward and not give up. Faith makes the impossible possible. Amen? Faith always makes the impossible possible. If we continue to move with our feelings and facts, we will never learn to live by faith. We will never. Okay? But if we learn to trust in the Word of God, facts will try hit us, facts will try pull us down, but we will not be pulled down because the truth is leading us and guiding us. Amen? And that's what it's all about when we say living by faith. I'm not living by the facts. No. I'm living by the truth. And the Word of God tells me that if I remain in Him, He remains in me. The problem is, most of us, we don't remain in Him. We run off. When something bad happens in our life, we run away. That's how we're wired. But God wants to change that. Amen? God wants to change that. God wants to do some rewiring in our lives. Amen? And the question is, are we going to let Him rewire our lives? It's all down to us. A preacher can signpost people where to go. A teacher can signpost a student where to go. But ultimately, it's in that student's hand where that student wants to go and what that student wants to do with what's been given to him. And it's the same with the Word of God. The Word of God is there for each and every one of us. But ultimately, it comes down to us. What are we going to do with the Word of God? Are we just going to read it like we're reading a textbook? Or are we going to hold on to every truth of the Word of God? Because faith is all about holding on to every truth of the Word of God. If this book was written years and years ago, and a lot of different interpreters have come up to us and they've said, this book was only relevant to the people then. No, it's relevant to people then. It was relevant to people then. But it's also relevant to the church today. It's also relevant to each and every one of us today. Amen. Because faith is all about now. Faith is all about what God wants to do in our lives now. It's not about what God wants to do in our lives tomorrow. Yes, it's part of it. But faith is all about what God wants to do in our lives right now. Right now. And if we have faith to believe, the Word of God says, if you even have this little faith like mustard seed, you can sing to the mountains, move, and the mountain will move for you. If you even have faith like the little mustard seed, you can say to the giant, listen, you can do nothing to me, and the giant will be slain in front of you. But the problem is, we lack faith. We lack faith. We looked at last week when that father went to Jesus, and Jesus said to the father, listen, do you believe? What did the father say? Yes, I believe, but please help my unbelief. And that's us. We believe the Word of God, but there's some areas in our lives that are still holding on to unbelief. And I pray to God today that as we open the scriptures, that realm of unbelief will be wiped away in the name of Jesus. Amen. And as I was preparing this message, you know, God reminded me of the Lord's covenant with Abraham, found in Genesis chapter 15. You don't have to turn there, but if you're taking notes, this will be helpful. God reminded me of the Lord's covenant, the covenant Lord made with Abraham, found in Genesis chapter 15. And in Abraham's vision, okay, Genesis chapter 15 verse 5, the Lord takes him outside and says to him, look up at the sky and count the stars. If you indeed can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Let me bring about my own translation to this, okay? When I read this, I always picture Abraham and God, okay? And God looks at Abraham and God takes Abraham out of his tent. And God says to Abraham, look up, what do you see? Look up, what do you see? And Abraham's like, stars. And God's like, yes. Now see if you can count them. And Abraham's like, it's impossible. There's millions of stars in the sky. And then God looks at Abraham in his face and says to him, so shall your offspring be. Amen. In other words, so shall your blessings be. Amen. Amen. And as God reminded me of that portion of scripture, I began to think on this question of, what do I see? And I really saw God say to me, Dan, when you look at your life, what do you see? Dan, when you look at your life, what do you see? And I really felt this message for each and every one of us as well. Church, when you look at your life, what do you see? Do you see a coward? Do you see a weak person? Do you see a failure? Do you see someone who is unworthy? Do you see someone who is untalented? Do you see someone who is unqualified? Or do you see someone who is more than a conqueror in Christ? Or do you see someone who is a victor in Christ? Or do you see someone who is a fighter in Christ? Or do you see someone who is able in Christ and through Christ? Amen. What do you see? Because whatever our perspective or self-image, God sees different. God sees things differently. There's this scripture. And it says, your thoughts are not God's thoughts. Your ways are not God's ways. See, we have this understanding of how God operates. We have this little box and we try to contain God in this little box. But I tell you what, we need to learn to think outside of the box. Amen? Because we cannot contain God. Theologian scholars and each and every one of us, they have tried to bring out their own perfect interpretation and pinpoint down the line between Greek and Hebrew and come out with a perfect conclusion. But the thing is, we can all try. I'm not saying we shouldn't try. We should all try to interpret the Bible in a biblical manner. But at the same time, no one has the perfect interpretation for it. Each and every one of us, we have our own interpretation of the Bible. Each and every one of us, we have our own perspective of the Bible. But when we talk about faith, faith is all about asking the Spirit to reveal things to us. Okay? Sense knowledge is all about trying to find your way through the Bible, bringing out different commentaries, bringing out different references from the Bible and piling it up together to bring out a perfect conclusion. But faith is all about holding on to your Bible with no commentaries, with no biblical reference, and saying to God, God, speak to me. That's what faith is. God, speak to me. Then the Spirit reveals to us. Amen. Then the Spirit brings life to us. Amen. Then the Spirit breathes life into dry bones. Amen. And as God asked me this question, what do you see? I began to think of an account found in Numbers. Okay, and this is found in Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, if you've got your Bibles for you, please. And in Numbers chapter 13, we have Moses, and he sends his 12 spies. Okay, he sends his 12 spies to the promised land. He sends his 12 spies to to the promised land. And this is what he says. I'm going to read from verse 1 if you've got your Bibles with you. Numbers chapter 13, and we're going to go from verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Send men to explore Canaan, which I'm giving to the Israelites. Send one leader from each of their ancestors' tribes." Hold on to this word. One leader. Okay? And he continues and he says, "So at the Lord's command, Moses sent these men." Did you hear that? Moses didn't make his own decision. He was waiting for instructions. He was waiting upon the Holy Spirit. He was waiting for the Lord to give him instructions. Because it should have said at the Moses' command. No, it says at the Lord's command. Moses sent these men from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. They were all leaders, these 12 men, okay? And here are their names. These are their names: Shamua, son of Jakur from the tribe of Reuben; Shaphat, son of Horai from the tribe of Simeon; Caleb, son of Jephunneh from the tribe of Judah; Egal, son of Joseph from the tribe of Issachar; Hosea, son of Nun from the tribe of Ephraim; Palti, son of Raphu from the tribe of Benjamin; Gadiel, son of Sodi from the tribe of Zebulun; Gadi, son of Sushi from the tribe of Joseph, that is the tribe of Manasseh; Amiel, son of Gemali from the tribe of Dan; Situr, son of Michael from the tribe of Asher; Naibi, son of Vopsi from the tribe of Naphtali; Girul, son of Machai from the tribe of Gad. These are the names of the men Moses sent to explore the land. But Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Amen. Goodness. I don't know if I pronounce them all right, but that's what it is, okay? You can always go back and you can look at their names again, okay? But the point that I want to bring across this afternoon is this. Here we have these 12 leaders. They're all leaders. They're all upcoming leaders. They're not just someone from the group. They are leaders. They're appointed leaders, okay? And they have all been journeying together for the last several years. They've all heard same things. They've all seen same things. They've all seen how God was with them when God delivered them from Egyptians. Okay, so they saw it all. They witnessed it all. And as we continue on the account, we see Moses giving this 12 spies instructions on how to get there. As we continue with the story, we see Moses giving the 12 spies how to get there and what to observe. So Moses says to him, "Listen, when you go in there, look for these type things." So Moses gives them all instructions, and not only that, but he tells them, "Listen, when you get there and when you come back, please bring some samples with you. I want to try some fresh crops from the land. I want to try some fresh vegetables and whatever the ground produces there." Okay? And it's verse 25. After exploring the land for 40 days, when we get to verse 25, after exploring the land for 40 days, they all come back with the report. Now they've been there, they've seen it all, and after 40 days they all come back. This is found in verse 25, by the way. Okay, I'm just going really fast there with it. And in their report, they accepted defeat. So we have these men who've just come back, and out of these 12, we have 10 men, 10 leaders in there, and what they've done? They've accepted defeat, confessing that the people living there are more powerful than them. And the land will be impossible to possess. Okay? God gave them promise years ago, saying, "I have got a promised land for you, and I'm going to take you there." And because out of that promise, they acted on it, and what did they do? They all followed Moses. Alright? And they're on this journey to the promised land. And when Moses, when he heard instructions from the Lord, and when Moses sent these 12 leaders to this promised land, 10 men come back, and what did they say? They're like, "Listen, it's impossible. So it's impossible. It's got everything. It ticks all the boxes and all the promises that God gave us. But people, when they're way too powerful than us, they've got some giants over there, and it's just too much." And you see, when we see things with natural understanding, even the possible scenario will seem impossible. Yeah. Let me say that again. When we see things with our natural understanding, when we see things with sense knowledge, faith, even the possible things will look impossible. And that's what we have to think big. Faith is all about thinking big. We might have small mindset, we might have small understanding, but the problem is not our understanding. The problem is we haven't got good understanding of who God is. The reason why we dream small is because we haven't grasped completely hold of who God is. God isn't a small God. He's a big God. He's a great big God. And if God is a great big God, then our thinking should be great and big as well. Amen? Our thinking should change. Our perspective should change. We cannot see signs, wonders, and miracles with doubtful heart and doubtful mind. We cannot see signs, wonders, and miracles with doubtful minds and doubtful heart. Faith has to come in. Faith has to come in. The reason we dream small is because we haven't fully grasped hold of the greatness of God. We haven't. Verse 30 says, Caleb told the people to be quiet. I praise God for Caleb. When there's negativity in the land, someone has to stand up and say, quiet. Amen.
Amen.
Someone has to stand up and say, quiet. Not has to. Someone needs to stand up and say, quiet. And right now, there is too many negativity on the news.
Yeah.
When you flick on the telly, one after another, negativity, negativity, negativity. My goodness, I want to see some positivity. Amen. There are some good positive things happening in this community. There are some good positive things happening in this nation. But every time we flick on the telly, someone's been murdered. Someone's been killed. Someone's been diagnosed with this. Someone's been diagnosed with that. No, I don't want to see any more negative news. I want to hear about the positive things of what God is doing in the land. Amen? We have got many signs, wonders, and miracles taking place right now more than ever. But we don't see that on the telly. No, we don't. There are many miracles taking place right now as we speak. A lot of people in different countries are getting healed. A lot of people are walking out of their wheelchairs, walking right now as we speak. A lot of cancers are being cured and healed right now as we speak. A lot of depression and oppression has been lifted up right now as we speak. But we don't see that. Why? Because we're too busy focusing on the negative. And the more we expand the negative, the more doubt's going to kick into our hearts and nothing is going to change. The change will come when we learn to live by faith. The change will come when we learn to focus on the positive things and focus on the Word of God and see what God is doing. Amen? We have to learn to shift our attention. We have to. I cannot let facts of the outside ruin my joy. No, I'm not going to let negative comments, negative things ruin my joy. No, I have got complete control of what happens in my life and out of my life. Amen. And no one can dictate that. Nobody. People might sometimes label you. People might sometimes call you things and say things and throw things at you. Okay. And if you let them do that, and if you continue to dwell on the things that's been thrown at you, what that's going to do is that's going to ruin your joy. What that's going to do is that's going to ruin my joy. And these 10 men, they went in there, they were rejoicing. Yes, we have got all this great, like mighty production, the ground producing great crops, ground producing some great fruits. But what did they do? They looked at all the giants.
Yeah.
And they forgot to look at God. They forgot to look at God. And that can be us sometimes. We can be so preoccupied with preoccupied and consumed by what's happening around us that we forget to look up. Lisha was sharing a scripture earlier on. I look up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? From God. And right now, more than ever, this is time for church and the nation to look up to God. Not look around. When we look around, circumstances will overwhelm us. When we look around, all the things that's happening around us will overwhelm us. But when we look to God, all of a sudden we will have the strength to fight and tackle what surrounds us, because God is a great big God, and God is greater than every mountain you will ever face in your life. Amen. God is able. Come on, church. God is able. And I must say, I'm guilty of this myself. Sometimes I can be so overwhelmed with what's happening around me and so occupied with on the things of what's around me that I forget to look up to God.
Yeah.
And faith is all about looking up and walking. It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know what's in front of me, but I'm looking up and I'm walking. Please don't try this at home. Okay, please don't try this. But what I'm saying is we have to look up. We have to keep looking up, but we have to keep moving our feet as well.
Yes, we do.
And this is faith. I don't know what's in front of me, but I'm trusting God.
Yes.
This is faith. But when we do this, we're like, whoa, this is out of my control.
Yes.
And rather than moving forward, we move back. But when I'm looking up, I can't see what's in front of me. I'm trusting you, God. I can't see around me. I'm trusting you, God. This is what faith is. We have to continue to keep trusting God. We have to continue to keep holding on to the promises of God.
Amen.
And then we have Caleb. Church, it's time for us to act.
Yes.
It's time for us to act. It's time for us to pray. Rather than, someone said to me once, do you know, why do people at church always complain and moan? And this is coming from a non-believer. Why do they always moan? Every time I meet a believer in the church, they've always got this and that to talk about, and they always complain and they always moan. You know, I was just recently at this barber's, and the guy was doing my hair, and I was talking to him, and I said to him, like, so he asked me a question, how long you've lived in Doncaster? I says, I was born in Nepal, then I was brought up in London, then I moved to Doncaster, and I was giving him my testimony, and I was sharing with him how God changed my life and everything, and he was asking me, so do you like Doncaster? And I said, yeah, it's a great place. Why wouldn't I? We have loads of, you know, like, white spaces, we have loads of nature, we have loads of beautiful villages, loads of beautiful places, farms and places we can go to. It's just, it's an amazing place. I love it. And I asked him the question, do you like Doncaster? He says, no, I don't. And I said, why don't you like Doncaster? He goes, it's too quiet for me.
Yes.
He says, it's too quiet for me. But before he said that, he was talking a lot of negativity about Doncaster. And if I would have joined him with his negativity, that wouldn't have done anybody good.
No.
Then one, I would have filled his mind with more negativity about Doncaster. He was new to the place. He'd only been here a month now, you know. But at that moment, God challenged me. Dan, what are you going to say? Dan, what are you going to say? Are you going to join him with his negativity, or are you going to shift the conversation and bring some positivity into it? Caleb did that. Caleb did that. Amen. There was a lot of negativity going on in that camp right now, and another negative comment wouldn't have helped. It wouldn't have helped. And I pray to God for each and every one of us that we will be positive people. I pray to God for each and every one of us that we will be faith-filled people, that our confession, our declaration will all be positive word of God. Amen? Positive word of God. Positive word of God. Even though I might not be having a great day, I'm still declaring positivity. I'm still declaring the word of God, because for me, it's not about the facts, it's about the truth. And we have to learn to dwell on the truth, not on the facts. And the facts, and all these 10 men, they were giving out facts. Yes, there are some giants there. Yes, it is difficult there. But Caleb stood up. And what did he say? Be quiet! Come on. He says, be quiet and listen to Moses. I tell you what, really good man him. He says, be quiet and listen to Moses. And he says, let's go now. Come on, I've heard too many negativity. Let's go now and take possession of the land. He says, take possession of the land. We should be more than able to conquer it. He doesn't just say, we will be able to conquer it. He said, we will be more than able to conquer it. More than able. Church, we are more than able to conquer it. Come on. We are more than able to conquer it. Each and every one of us, you are more than able to conquer all your fears. You're more than able to conquer all your mountains. You're more than able to conquer all your giants. We are able to conquer all our giants. But the question is, are we ready to conquer it? Are you going to let it conquer you, or are you going to conquer it?
Yeah.
Caleb declares faith in the midst of fear and uncertainty. We have to declare faith. We have to declare faith. We are going through some uncertain times at the moment. However, like I said earlier on, God is in control. God is in control. And in spite of how we feel, church, we have to continue to live by faith. We have to. We have to continue to live by faith by changing our perspective first and foremost, and secondly, changing our declaration. Firstly, we have to change our perspective. So I'm going to ask you this question. What do you see? What do you see? Do you see defeat or do you see victory? In the midst of all uncertainty, you might feel like you're being defeated. But I tell you what, in spite of how you feel, it's time for you to change your perspective. It's time for me to change my perspective. In the midst of defeat, I will see victory. Amen. In the midst of defeat, I will declare victory. Because it's not about what I feel, no. It's not about what I feel, no. And as we continue, okay, verse 31, it says, these leaders got scared. So we have Caleb, and Caleb said, listen, we have to do this. Come on, guys. We've been there. We've come back. Let's conquer it already.
Amen.
It's no point. Let's just do it. And verse 31, it says, these leaders got scared. They got scared and disagreed. So what did they do? They went around and they spread this bad report to all the Israelites. It was only in the leadership body, this news. But what did these leaders do? They went out and they spread this bad news around the camp. And now all of a sudden, all these Israelites, they're panicking now. Whoa, what's happening? What happened to the promised land? Excuse me. They all got scared. And I just don't get it. I firmly believe each and every one of us, we have to be accountable to what we say and what we do. First and foremost, we have to be accountable to what we say, what we do. And also, secondly, we have to learn to come under accountability.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. We have to, first and foremost, be accountable to what we say and what we do. I've seen a lot of people blame other person for their actions. Okay? But it's time for us to take on this responsibility. I'm taking responsibility to what I say and what I do. And when I do that, that stops me from blaming others. Because what that'll do is that'll mature the spiritual maturity in me, and that will help me to move forward and live by faith.
Yeah.
And secondly, we have to learn to come under accountability.
Yeah.
We have to come under accountability. So when a shepherd sees his sheep going elsewhere and going in direction that sheep shouldn't be going to, what does the shepherd do? He takes his rod and he tries to guide him. And then if the sheep still misbehaves, what does the shepherd do? Bam! Come on! And sometimes when, even in the church body, when the shepherd gives bam, sheep looks at the shepherd and continues to go in the other direction. And sadly, when they continue to go in the other direction, they get eaten by foxes.
Yeah. Yeah.
They get eaten by foxes. And that's what happens on this as well. Bad rumors getting spread. Okay, and some of the Israelites continue to do their own thing. And what happens? They get defeated. But that's a few chapters later, okay? And that's why it's so important for us to stay accountable. We have to stay accountable. We're here for a reason. We do church for a reason. Okay? And we meet for a reason.
Yeah.
The reason we meet is so that we are accountable to one another. The reason we meet is so that we know what's happening with one another.
Yeah.
Okay? If we stop meeting, what does that do? Is all of a sudden we don't know what's happening in that person's life. And when there's no accountability, a person is easily that person falls into temptation.
Yeah.
Okay, because it becomes an unguarded city. And an unguarded city is easily destroyed.
Yeah.
And the church is all about building walls. Okay, building walls in terms of what we do with our lives. Okay, we stay open, but at the same time, we have to learn to guard some areas of our lives because it helps us to move forward. And as we get to chapter 14, On the same one, it says the whole community began to weep all night with fear. See what negativity did.
Yeah.
And a lot of people behind closed doors right now are weeping with fear because of coronavirus. They're weeping with fear because of coronavirus. And there was great fear in the camp. And there is great fear in different houses right now as we speak. As we speak. Many are even scared to come out of their houses. Why? Because they focus too much on the bad report. Because they've been focusing too much on the things that they've seen on the telly. And until and unless they choose to stop, press that power button on the telly and focus on the Word of God and focus on what, on all the good that is actually happening, the fear will continue to overwhelm them. The fear will continue to eat them. The fear will continue to conquer their lives. And that's why we have to be very careful. And there were 12 spies that were going to the same location. 10 were gripped with fear, but yet 2 were gripped with fear. Faith, amen. 10 of these men were gripped with fear, but 2 of these men were gripped with faith. And as we continue on this, it says, 2 of the men, okay, verses 6 and 9 from chapter 14. Verses 6 to 9 from chapter 14, if you're taking notes. At the same time, 2 of those who had explored the land, Joshua and Caleb, tore their clothes in despair. They were like, I've had enough. This is a sign that they had enough. They tore their clothes in despair, and they said to the whole community, listen now, the land we explored is very good. Enough with the negativity. They were like, the land we explored is very good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us into the land, amen, and give it to us.
Yeah.
This is a land flowing with milk and honey, like He was promised. It was land flowing with milk and honey. Don't rebel against the Lord. This belief is actually rebelling against the Lord according to the scripture. Don't rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people of the land. We will devour them like bread.
Yeah.
Goodness. We will devour them. They won't be able to devour us. Instead, we will devour them. They have no protection. The Lord is with us. So don't be afraid of them. 10 men went there. They came back scared of their lives. But 2 men went there. They came back rejoicing because now they just saw the promise that was promised to them. See that? They were promised these promises. They went in there and now they came back rejoicing. Whoa, man, I thought these were only words, but I've seen it now. I know it to be true. Caleb and Joshua, see, different perspective. They didn't come back, whoa, too many giants, we're just grasshoppers. No, other 10 men said that. But these 2 men, they went in there, whoa, man, this is it, I've just seen the promised land. Now there's no stopping us. Amen? Now there's no stopping us. What did these 2 see? They did not see the giants that was in front of them, no. They saw God who was with them. They did not see powerful people who could devour them. No. They saw powerful God and His promises. They did not feed their fear. But what did they do? They fed their faith. Amen. They fed their faith. What they had been promised was now in front of them. What they had been promised was now in front of them. And they were ready. See that? They were ready. They were ready. And their faith was even more stronger. Their faith was even more stronger. Can I say this? We are all standing in the promised land right now as we speak. We're all standing in the promised land right now as I speak. This promised land was promised to Pastor Grace and Andrew 27 years ago.
Yeah.
And what did they do? They did not waver away. No. They continued to live by faith. It was given to them. It was promised to them. And they continued to live by faith. And 27 years later, each and every one of us are sat in that very promised land.
Amen.
This church was promised to them years ago. And now we're sat in it. And God did not just bring us to this promised land just to sit in this comfortable chairs. No. God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of his life. He has got a plan and a purpose for each and every one of his life. And that's to grow in faith first and foremost. He wants us to grow in our faith, each and every one of us. Do you know? 10 years down the line, we don't want to be holding on to the same thing. No, 10 years down the line, we want to be so full of the Spirit. We're like, whoa, my faith is stronger than it ever was. Come on, church.
Yes.
For each and every one of us, God wants us to grow in our faith. When we learn to live by faith, further down the line, I believe our perspective needs to be full of faith. A few years down the line, I believe our speech should be full of faith as well. Not only that, but I believe our lifestyle should be different as well. Our lifestyle should be different. I'm surprised at some of the people I see. I'm like, whoa, mate. Your declaration and your lifestyle isn't matching. Something's not right there. You're declaring faith, but you're living in fear. Something's not right. And that's why, church, I believe faith and lifestyle goes hand in hand. I believe faith and declaration goes hand in hand. I believe faith and our perspective goes hand in hand. These two men, their faith and their perspective went hand in hand. They knew the word of God. They knew the promises. And that's why when they saw the promised land, they were excited. Why? Because they were holding on to the promise. But these 10 men, they heard of the promise, but when they went in there, their lifestyle didn't quite match with their faith. No, it didn't match. And that's why they came back with fear.
Yeah.
And today, where are we in terms of our faith? Pastor Andrew keeps on saying this, when Jesus comes back, will he find faith? And I think it's so true. When Jesus comes back, will he find faith? We have a lot of jumping in the camp. We have a lot of shouting in the camp. But we don't see that many people walking in the Holy of Holies. And it's time for the church to step into the Holy of Holies. We're just standing outside the tent, dancing and shouting, Jesus is so good. But it's time for us to step in deeper. It's time for us to move into deeper. And what do I see? I started my sermon with the same thing. Daniel, what do you see? And as I was praying on this, and I was, you know, really kind of looking at what do I really see. Let me share with you what do I see. When I look at this church, you know what do I see? I see a church with fire.
Amen.
I see a church full of faith.
Amen.
I see a church with power. I see a church who is unstoppable. I see a church who is faithful. I see a church who is healed. I see a church who is redeemed. I see a church who is a light to this community. I see a church who is moving in signs, wonders and miracles. And I see a church who is unstoppable. Amen. I see a church who is unstoppable in the name of Jesus. And no weapon, no demon, no power is going to stop what God is about to do. Because we are the church of Jesus Christ. Because we are the church of Jesus Christ. And now it's time more than ever for church to rise up and take its stand.
Yes.
Now more than ever.
Yes.
We talk about faith, but now it's time for us to live by faith.
Yes.
We talk about healing. Now it's time for us to move in signs, wonders and healings. We talk about God's provision. And now it's time for us to act as God's provision.
Yes.
To this local community.
Yes.
And to this nation.
Yes.
Church, I see a church who is rising up. I see a church who is rising up. I was so excited when I was preparing this message. When God said to me, what do you see? I said, God, I see a church who is unstoppable. I said, God, I see a church who is healed. God, I said, God, I see a church who is going to make an impact in this community and in this nation. I said, God, I see a church who is not going to be moved by fear, but is going to be moved by signs, wonders, and miracles. I said, God, I see this church full of people operating in the signs, wonders and miracles.
Amen.
And in faith.
Woo.
Come on, church.
Yes.
We have to believe.
Amen.
We have to believe. Because this is the word of God for each and every one of us.
Yes.
What do you see?
Yes.
What do you see? What do I see? What do we see? We see signs, wonders, and miracles taking place right now. We see signs, wonders, and miracles taking place right now. I'm really feeling that God wants to minister to us today. I really feel that. Because we are a church, and we won't stop until we see signs, wonders, and miracles. We won't see until every people in this community hear about Jesus. We won't stop until we see everyone in this community worshiping Jesus. We won't stop until we see every youngster in this community leaving the streets life and following the plans and purposes of God in their lives. We won't stop until we see every family in this community restored, redeemed, refreshed, forgiven, moving forward in their lives. We won't stop until we see all the sick people in this community being healed by the blood of Jesus, being healed by the Spirit of Jesus, being healed by the power of Jesus. We won't stop. We won't stop. We won't stop, church. We won't stop. We have to keep pressing on. The Spirit of the living God is in this place right now. He's here. He is here. Whatever your need, whatever need you have, come out as an act of faith. We don't do this as a sign of performance. No, we do this as a sign of obedience to God. Because we know God is in the midst of all that is going on in this nation, in this country right now. And God wants to. God wants to bring about a change and a transformation in this place. God wants to change and transform Doncaster. God wants to change and transform England. God wants to change and transform all of the world. But it starts with us. Because we are the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And He wants to equip us. He wants to heal us. So we can go out there and proclaim the message of healing. He wants to deliver us. So that we can go out there and proclaim the message of deliverance.
Yes.
He wants to provide for us. So that we can go out there and declare the message of provision. Because we are unstoppable, church.
Amen.
We are unstoppable in Jesus Christ. So if you've got any needs, come out and we're going to pray for you. I'm going to ask Pastor Andrew and the leadership team to pray and to help me with this.
Amen.
If you have any need in your life right now, I'm going to ask you to step out in faith. If there's any area of healing you need in your life, if there's any area of provision you need in your life, come out as an act of faith. This is you and God. This is between you and God. We're going to do that right now in the name of Jesus.